Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 13 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster. And this week is finally upon us. It is WrestleMania week in Las Vegas, WrestleMania 41. The countdown is less than, I believe, what, 4 days? Four more sleeps, just about, depending on when you sleep. Some sleep more than others. I feel like this day's been on the calendar for forever, and it being here now feels as if it happened already, and it's not happening at the same time. But we're going to talk wrestling just about this whole episode as soon as Quest jumps on here, my dog, and we'll have a conversation about that. Until then, hey, shout outs off the top going to my dog Rocket and his brand Anti-Water. Ty Anti, we and him actually talked about this on here, and it's one of those things where if you see it one way or you start saying it in your head one way, you kind of always say it that way. And I don't know which way I say it yet, but sometimes Anti sounds a little better, sometimes Anti sounds better. My boy hooked me up with a care package, man. And what the brand is, it's a hydration supplement, I guess you could say. I don't want to butcher it, but you can easily go find Anti-Water on all your socials, Insta, TikTok, to see what it's about, to see it being demonstrated in accounts from people who have used it and athletes who are using it, and to give some background on Rocket. If you have it, go back on here. Check out our episode. I'm going to pull up what that is in just a second. But it was last August 2024, season 2. He came on here, talked about it a little bit. Me and Rocket go way back. I've known this man since kindergarten. Interview, shout out. Got into what it is a little bit, and bro's been hitting the ground running, man. He sent me some packs so I can test it out for myself. You see it right there. I certainly will be doing that. Hey, man, sky's the limit in terms of whatever it is. I hope the best for him. I just wanted to get some of that on the pod, you know, a little product opening, because that's appreciated, man. He said, send me your address. I got you. Sure enough, we got the chews. We got the powder for the water. That's lit, man. That's lit. Clearly, that was my first one of those. So I'm going to try and freshen that up a bit some more as well. But again, before we jump all the way into some wrestling, let's talk hoops a little bit, because the play-in tournament is tomorrow/today. The WNBA draft was tonight/yesterday, depending on when you're listening. And really quick on the WNBA draft, I've said it already. I didn't hear Dominique Malanga's name mentioned one time. Not a single time before I talked about her on last week's episode with Terrell, and I stand by what I very shyly suggested on the pod last week. But I don't know, dude. All I know is that if I'm in the front office of one of these WNBA teams and we had the first overall pick and there was a girl in this draft that was unlike any other player that is in our league and is very, you know, young, just in terms of, hey, there might be longevity here. They're a one of one. We've seen what the Brittany Griners have done with women who are 6'6 plus. We can count on one hand the ones who have gotten a dunk in the WNBA. And this girl is 19 and she could dunk off the vert. So I said it before, and that's Quest just jumping into the feed right now. Yeah, man, I know Paige was a home run of a pick and one of those situations where you have to take her. But I don't know, man. I would have been the voice in the room where I looked through, and I just stood up and said, everybody, are we sure? Are we sure we're not going to take the 6'6", 19-year-old that can dunk off vert? in the WNBA. Like, I love it. I don't want this to sound like I don't, you know, support Paige or think that she's going to be nice, because that's not lost on me. And I get it, you know, Dallas is a city that's been burned very recently. So you kind of had to do that with Paige, but we've seen scenarios play out where you had to take somebody, and that somebody was not who everybody told you they were. And again, I'm not putting that on Paige. I'm just looking at who Dominique Malanga looks like in this draft, and I wouldn't have been able to be quiet about it. That's it on the WNBA draft. Shout out to Haley Van Lith as well. She went 11th, and that was the kind of curious one to see where she would fall. And she's back with Angel Reese now in Chicago, so that's pretty neat. And she'll get to play behind Courtney Vandersloot, one of the all-time great point guards in the W. So that'll be good for her development. And I don't know how to correctly pronounce this girl's name, but she's Lithuanian. I believe she's 20 or 21 now. And it's who the Golden State Valkyrie took with their first selection at number 5. And I think that she'll be the steal of the draft. We'll talk about her plenty, you know, as the season starts in about a month or so. As for the play-in tomorrow, both of these teams, all four teams rather, that are playing in the two games tomorrow will have two chances at making it into the postseason. I think that Golden State, I don't really want to see those boys in the playoffs. So if they were to have fumbled everything and Harrison Barnes game winner bumped into the play-in and then they choked in the play-in, that's fine with me. I would love that outcome. I don't think that Memphis should be disrespected or slept on. They don't lose that frequently when Ja Morant plays. I know the Ja discourse abandons the kind of player that he is in the conversation. We toss out Ja's on-court abilities and what that team is like when he plays, but they don't lose often when he plays. So this is a single elimination game. They're healthy. Edie's become a force on the boards. Jaren he averaged 22.5 this year. Like, Jaren was a 23 points per game scorer. Desmond Bane averaged 20 plus for the entire season as well. They've been deep. They've been one of the deeper teams, one of the highest scoring teams in the league. So I think that they're equipped to battle with Golden State. We know they have playoff history, and Memphis's record, they were top 3 all season in the conference, just about. Top 4 or 5 at the best. And for them to have slid to 8 because the conference was just that close, they could catch Golden State. And again, if Golden State were to fumble and miss the playoffs, that is fine by me. Maybe not out in silver. I will take it. As far as Atlanta and Orlando, Orlando's offense, man, it gets real slim outside of Franz and Paolo, and that might get it done against Atlanta, but Atlanta's not chump. They're not chump, man. Ricochet came on as of late. Okongwu's been great. Dyson Daniels is first team all defense this year. And they got guys like Caris LeVert, Georges Nang off the bench to keep shooting, to keep firing away. So that game won't be that fun, I don't imagine. But it sounds like I'm leaning towards Atlanta, but again, all these teams will have two cracks at getting into the playoffs. We'll talk a little bit more about it later this week. Quest, my dog, what is up, bro?
What's going on, man? How we feeling?
Oh, man, I said it right at the top on here, but it's weird. It's like I feel like this date on the calendar has been circled for so long that it's finally here, and it feels like it happened already. And that it didn't happen like at the same time, or that it's not real. I don't know, man. How you feeling?
I think I can catch your drift. It's like this year's Mania season don't quite feel the same like from the last 2 years. So it doesn't feel like Mania season. It's more so like it's Mania season in name, if you get my drift.
Yeah, no, I think let's start right there because I'm glad that you kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I've been able, I feel like, to not be disappointed in the build, even though the build does feel lackluster. I think that's because we're in the host city, so we don't really care because we are already committed to whatever this is going to be. But it's almost like this one, the last few years were extremely story driven and had long term stories and culminations and payoffs and chapters on top of stuff that was kind of already there, but was the focal point of what the stories had been. And this year, there still is long term storytelling happening, but the stories just aren't as focused and consistent right now to where the programming like required watching to see what was happening or to see what was, you know, like you couldn't miss episodes last year. Like some of those Raws and SmackDowns in Utah and Phoenix.
Yeah, because Rock was actually showing up to SmackDown on the weekly. That's what made it fun.
You couldn't miss. And it was key to the build. This year, it feels like they're reaching sort of higher or wider. And the, you know, devoted watchers are kind of like, okay, can we get a little more? Because I get what y'all are doing.
They're trying to get more into like the mainstream with the influencers, all that good stuff. The cinema, because, you know, they like their cinematic segments and whatnot. So they don't, it's like their story, but it's not there in a way. Like, because Cena, he's there, but he's not. But we need him. And you see, like, just like you said, like how there's was story. Like, there was story. Because Cody, he was captivating. And he was able to carry that Mania season on his back with his story. So there's actually something to look forward to. This year, it's like, it's just things are there. It's like, Cena, Cody, it's good, you know, it's cool. I'm enjoying it. It's this triple threat. I'm enjoying it-ish just because the three guys that are involved. But it's at the same time, it's still like, what are they fighting for at the end of the day?
Right. So, Seth said it's the future of wrestling. It's custody of Paul Heyman. It's who got the best music in the company.
it's like the three... It'd been better if it was like just if you could have broke it up, like if it was like maybe a Roman Punk or Roman Rollins, have Punk go off and do something else. But I'm enjoying it enough because of the three guys that are involved, and I'm pretty sure they're going to put on a banger main event come night one. It's just that this year, man, it's like you said, we had a story for the last couple of years. And just this year, it just seems like things are just there happening. You just stick on the wall.
I got a few questions for you. And that kind of like is the for in those couple questions, we'll sort of hit on everything, whatever it is that I kind of want to get to. Mm-hmm. And feel free to add whatever you want to also. Yeah. Definitely, though, last year we were already sold on, okay, coming out of Mania. We are expecting one of two things, and what side of you are? What side are you on? Are you pulling for this side? Or are you pulling for this side? And this year, it's definitely we genuinely don't know what's going to happen. Everything is on the table. I don't want to steal Justin's thunder, but he'll probably come on here and mention it. He's of the mindset that The Rock might walk away from Sunday Night as champion. At this point in time, nothing's off the table, especially if they, you know, what they did in Vegas the last time left everyone pretty dumbfounded. Before we get into some of the questions about what I have that are on the card, I'm pretty sure that you were going.
No, this year I'm not going, though. It's them to the tickets.
Shout
this
out.
The tickets this year, like, this is just.
There we go.
Absolutely ridiculous, bro.
You don't understand how.
Listen, bro. You know
no, I went bro, to WrestleMania. We had to put 39. Our foot down.
Yeah, exactly. You know I went to WrestleMania 39, and I went and I compared the ticket prices from back then. Bro. One night it was like three something, the other night it was four something. And I didn't even spend $900 to go to both nights. And it's going to be damn near $900 just to go to one night in a decent seat.
In a yes, that, which is the caveat. And I know Allegiant Stadium very well. I was a tour host when Allegiant opened. There's not really a bad spot in there. And I went to SummerSlam 2021, which interestingly featured John Cena.
Yeah, I was there too.
And right. So I've got a feel for when I went there that time. I said, okay, I do want to know what a show looks like here that is packed. So we both understand that. That show was like 75% of Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah.
And the torch side and the floor in front of the torch and those closest sections were basically not a part of the set or the show or anything. Mania, I expect them to be shooting for the 360, the full 360 effect. So, of course, that and the stage and all that, right. That would be cool to see in person. And I'm just, dude, I'm like, I've got like anxiety about it because I feel like on A, the prices are coming down a bit right now. And when I was thinking about going to 39, I almost bought tickets again, like a couple days before, where I was like, ooh, wee, that's not bad. I just might do it. But yeah, this year, it looks like they might be coming down. It looks like it's going to be hard pressed for me to say I'll pass, but I've already sort of made the consolidation that going to the Raw after is probably going to be fire. But I don't want to make myself feel like I'm trying to compensate or lie to myself that, you know, you know it ain't the same.
Yeah, I'm already
the same as it. However, if I did, I'm going to, if you had to pick one night to go to, which night would you pick?
Night two, easily, just because Cody Cena. That's just me personally. I'm going for Cody Cena. That's why.
I would go to night one. I would go to night one. I think that the triple threat main is going to feel big. I think that in the recent years, they've sort of hit night one very well, if not out of the park each year.
Mm-hmm.
And not that night two doesn't, but it just has a different feel when, you know, it's really the main event is over with after this. Night ones have sort of ended like with the vibe rolling still a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I might want to go out after. It's Easter the next day. Like,
yeah. Night two last year, I say it was better than night one just because you finished the storm.
Yeah. No, it'd be hard. Yeah. You would feel robbed. So there's a lot. And I'm slowly turning into the dad from Everybody Hates Chris where I just start calculating things before I'm like, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to want to eat. I'm going to want a couple beers. I'm going to get a couple shirts. I got to get back to the car. That's going to cost something. I want to go to WWE. Right, I want to go to the convention center. Okay, then there's the activations. All right, I'm out $1,500. And I haven't. And I'm still sitting down like, or I could DoorDash. You feel me?
That's what I'm thinking of. Listen.
Super cozy and shoot, still mess around to see somebody on the strip. Like, who knows? So I don't know, bro.
Because listen, I said to every day, like from the jump, like all the events that's going on around WrestleMania seem more fun than WrestleMania this year. Like the Fountain Blue Club events. Like, so I'm going to one of those nights.
It's a long time to be in that seat.
Yeah,
in whatever seat you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, nah. Like, I think I'm cool with letting it fly past, but in the days leading up, I'm like, oh man, it could impulsively happen like any minute. But I think Stand and Deliver is gonna be fire. I really do. I would want to go to it too, but we'll see. We'll see on some of these decisions. All right. Reason for me wanting to go to night one as well is because I think that Jay and Gunther, outside of the main events, which it's basically a pseudo main event also, is what I'm definitely looking forward to the most. And I am with the gang of we're hip to this. It's looking like Gunther's winning and is gonna, you know, crush everybody's dreams. But I'm holding out, bro. I'm Team J going into Mania. I think that we forget how often they show us their hands. And is Jay really going to lose to Gunther four times? Are they really not going to put the belt on this man who just did their whole holiday season promo and has been selling out and gets a concert every week when he comes out? Are they really going to bypass the celebration ceremony that he could get after taking his debt? Like, oh, I don't think so. Like, I think that I think that smart fans going for Gunther are sort of just trying to not get themselves believing in the J moment, so it doesn't hurt if he really doesn't win. And I will be hurt, clearly, I guess, if he doesn't win. But which side are you hoping comes through, or betting to would come through?
I'm betting, yeah, it's definitely Jay's definitely winning, just simply for the fact that he is not losing
it's
for
Jay,
a fourth time.
Bro, stop.
He's not losing for a fourth time to Gunther. It's not happening. JWE, you know they love their optics. You know they love the celebrations. They gave this man the Royal Rumble for a reason. Like, it's happening. You get opening night one with Jey Uso yeeting with the crowd with the World Heavyweight Championship on his shoulder. That is going to be a moment, and I'm very much looking forward to it because he deserves it. Why? Because he is the most over person in the entire company.
And no diss. This is not a diss. But if Kofi got it on the wave of just unrelenting crowd support, I think Jay deserves it.
Yeah, because it's been a consistent, like, it's been, like, with the Kofi Mania, like you said, respectfully, like, it was, like, a moment. But Jay has been over consistently for the past year and some change. Like, and it's only been progressively gotten more over and over, and the crowd has not gotten tired. They love
it. While we're here, I want to hear how you would describe Jey Uso's character, because it's to the person who's been casual or not, if they were to ask you, or the question flows from the TL sometimes, like, yo, how did Jey get to this point? It's not a simple question, or it's not a simple answer, like, to where you just think back, like, oh, how did Becky Lynch get here? Oh, this one time she got punched in the face, it was bloody, it was this iconic kind of photo, and after that, just point forward, she was the man. I don't know. We all just started calling her the man. She told us she was the man. She was the man after that. Like, it's not. Jay is just, I don't know. There's some of the Jeff Hardy to it. Like, how would you describe why Jay is who he is now?
So, like you said, like, it's partially like some of the Jeff Hardy to it. And then also just through his time with the Bloodline and just through the past couple of years that he's been with the Bloodline and all the abuse that we've seen him take amongst right under his cousin, Roman Reigns. And just seeing that abuse that he's taken and just the crowd just being behind him and just being supportive of him and then just wanting him to step up. And then once you had that moment where Jimmy kicks Roman in the face and then Jay eventually kicks Roman in the face where he finally branches off and just finally breaks through off of all the disrespect and all the hate that he's been through. And it's just the crowd is following him like, yeah, Jay, you finally branched off. You're doing your own thing. And then Jay is like, yeah, I'm going to go off, do my own thing. It's in his theme song. It's just me. Oops, day one. So, yeah, it's just the progressive growth of just Jay going from under his cousin and then branching off and just becoming his own man instead of being just the tag team brother to a legit single star.
That's how, that's the piece of his character that I think resonates with me the most, is the little brother that he is. And I'm a little brother. And you always do sort of feel like somebody's holding you down. Or like when you snap, when I really take it there, it's because, yo, you really, really made me go here. And I'm sort of used to this. you know, I'm just turn the other cheek, or it's not really my call, or it's, and he's sort of like the boys in the hood, like one to make it out, that now everybody's kind of like, nah, bro, you gotta go to college. You gotta be successful. Like, we counting on you, bro. Like, you really are representing us.
Yeah, like, exactly like you said. Like, he's representing himself, his own family. He's his own man for his family. Like, because he told Roman, like, you're not the only one that could be the tribal chief. We can do this as a family. So, as, like, we're seeing, like, he's branched off doing this on his own for the family. And, you know, the one thing I really wish, man, it would have been provided so much character growth for both characters. Like, if we could have just got a moment between Roman and Jay, and Roman just outright apologizing to him, like, sorry for everything, and then giving him some type of...
You know what, man? You know what, bro? Because they were both on the show tonight, and they didn't do that.
Man.
They're both going to be on the show Saturday. Depending on where and who, you know, where the matches take place on the card, I would want that to happen entirely, because that sells the belief, like the sort of last bit of like, Jay, come on, dog. Like, you have this, you have the support of the family. You got, that would be emotional, bro. Like, that would be real. If it doesn't happen, and it sounds like it probably won't because they haven't yet, if he wins and he still has to get acknowledged, you know what I'm saying? If he wins, Roman still got to come. He got to dap him up at the least. That's so, Roman's so crazy that we got to say that. Like, you got to go dap your cousin up at least after he won the, if after he wins the title. But that, hopefully, I'm looking forward to Jay winning, because you have to tell some of these other stories now. He's earned the main event spot. We have to see where, you have to keep pushing this thing that you still invested all this time in. You got to keep sending it further. Like, the Bloodline stories or whatever, they are never over, because they're not over. So give us new pages. We got Solo. I wanted Solo to beat Cody at one of those matches. Just, hey, yo, put the belt on him, take it off a little bit, but just spice it up. Make us believe that he can. But beyond that, when you get to the doorstep so many times and you don't do it, you will not be able to do it after that. Like, it's looking like Solo does not get a world championship unless it's a Money in the Bank sort of situation. Because, I mean, we walked you all the way to the doorstep and said, nah. So how are we supposed to sort of believe that? And that does make the Jacob Fatu match interesting to me, because no other Bloodline members have won the U.S. title besides the Tribal Chief.
Yeah, honestly, you mentioned that match. At first, I was thinking Jacob is going to win the title at Mania, but I'm thinking of the belief that L.A. Knight is going to end up winning that match. And I think it's going to be a situation where Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga inadvertently get involved, whether Jacob advises them not to or whatnot, and somehow they're going to end up costing him that match, and then that's where you're going to set up Solo versus Jacob at the next pay-per-view. I honestly think that's where it may go. And just because also, too, LA Knight did just recently win back the U.S. title, do you want to take it right back off of him again?
Kind of feel like that is exactly what they were doing. Because they established that they can take it off of him and he doesn't really lose. And he could be in the Gunther spot last year of, all right, you got to lose this mid-card title, so now we can put you back in the world title picture or start to climb. But I'm here with you still. That one could get funny, because clearly he's not on the same page as Solo. And Solo versus Jacob doesn't need the U.S. title. However, if it is for the U.S. title, that's like borderline main event status, but you still have, you know, world titles that are going to top it on the card. So I could see them pressing pause on that. I could also see, this is a forgotten story, and the Kevin Owens element, man, you know, best wishes to KO. It throws a major curveball in it. But if you remember, bro, right before the Rumble, right after the Rumble, Sammy was a very stressed out man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was under the impression that, okay, he's going to crack soon. And it could be full-fledged heel turn. It could just be I'm burning a bridge with somebody. Sammy and Kevin were established as key pieces on the main roster ever since they signed a contract extension following WrestleMania 35 or 6, I want to say. Mm-hmm. From that point forward, it was, you know, they knocked it out of the park and were staples of Mania ever since, basically. This Mania isn't happening without Sami Zayn.
I honestly think it is. I think Sami is.
You think so?
The card, yeah. I think it's a situation where Sami is going to have an honest break right now during this time, but then it's going to be made up to him next year where he's going to have an even bigger year. So I honestly think because the roster is as top heavy as it is now, Sammy is inadvertently going to be one of those casualties that's going to be left off the Mania card, because it's like, what else do you do with him? You don't want to just...
Well, yeah, off the card, at this point, for sure. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking, and I'm glad that you said that, because that makes me think this isn't happening, because I really want Jay to win. Mm-hmm. But what if Sammy just... What if we had a Uso in a hoodie during the Jay Uso match? That ruins the match for Jay, and it's Sammy.
Yeah, I think that would put a really bad taste in the mouth of everybody that's there all around. I think that would be a bad creative move. I'm not gonna lie. That would put a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Like, ugh, you're like, really?
That speaks to Sammy. That speaks to Sammy's character. Then over the last year, that he's literally like, no, Sammy wouldn't do that. why Sammy Y would be something though. They're going to do something that pisses a lot of people off this weekend, and I don't know what it is, but it's happening. It's happening.
Well, I can tell you exactly what it is. Charlotte winning the fucking belt. That's what it's going to be.
Now, after Jay and Gunther, I kid you not, bro, that might be the match I want to see the most.
I think that they're capable of having a really great match, definitely. But I honestly, you can never bet against Charlotte in a championship match. And I honestly think they're going to put the belt on her and then they're going to have Tiffany chase her to try to get the belt back. I honestly think this was going to happen.
I can more easily see Charlotte locking in the figure eight or doing whatever she does to get the win than I can see her getting pinned right now.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
They had this woman win that Rumble for a reason. They had big plans for that woman. And yeah, she's at 14 right now. Yeah, so this one would be number 15. They're definitely going to have her break that record. So they're trying to keep, you got a stat pad. You got to push those records. So
right.
Number 15's happening. They're going to be like, oh,
yeah,
because she
same
won
way with
last them. Year. Let's go ahead and make it back up to her, give her this championship when she does not need it.
I'm proud to be a day one Tiffany Stratton fan.
Likewise.
People, you know, they miss that era of NXT, the Toxic Attraction era, the young, you know, Cora and Roxanne and Tiffany, and Tiff has been a stud, bro. Like, she's really been a beast kind of from the jump. And I like her wrestling style 100% because her cheer background or whatever, but she's not scared when she's in the ring. She's down to go all out. So that mixed with Charlotte, who can have a banger, who can certainly have a banger, but they've got to have some real life bad blood tension. So all of that makes for a match that I'm down to see. I don't really need Tiff to win, or I won't be the most upset because now that you're saying that.
So what did you think of that promo between them though on SmackDown?
It generated interest even more for me. It's sloppy as all hell. It's definitely Jerry Springer. But everything won't be you know, finish the story. Everything won't be crockpot booking. Sometimes we just need, you know, some good old, you know, reality TV vibes, like, and don't make it more complicated than that.
It was crazy.
But that, I don't know. It's crazy. It's deep. There's more layers to it, but yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy to see, like, Charlotte was legitimately getting rattled by the crowd like that. And considering after all these years she's done this, you would think, like, she knows how to handle this situation. But she legit got rattled, and she just gave it all up. And then, you know, she was going at Tiffany in the week previous promos, and then Tiffany brought it right back. And then, you know, Miss Charlotte, she has to have the last word, of course. And then, hey, Tiff, did you know Kaiser's in my DMs? Like, that fell flat. That was a, like, really...
No, she 100% had words to say for that segment that were never said. Mm-hmm. There was a whole, you know, chunk that was written for her that she prepared, practiced, whatever, that didn't come out because she didn't know how to work past the crowd interruptions. And when she said, you know, back to you, and basically, and Tiffany. So here's the thing for me too. Like, I wanted to be a slam dunk for Tiffany, how she sort of bit back. But it still didn't, like, the, you know, the whole, you ain't queen of, for me, like, she kind of fumbled that delivery, so it didn't sting.
Yeah.
And the way she said what she said and rolled out of the ring, like, it all came off very, very ugly. But it's still, I don't care, because I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this match, man. I was predicting this was going to happen since last year's WrestleMania just because, you know, Charlotte is Charlotte, Tiffany, a young rise-up star, and it should be a great match, you know. At the end of the day, I feel like they're going to do business, but if not, it can be a disaster in the ring, but I doubt that's what it's going to be. I think we're in for a great match.
This is giving Tiffany, like, the top of the division starter pack accelerated, like, you know, 90-day version of, okay, you want to be the top of the division? You want to know what it's like? This is all of what it's like. You got to deal with people who you might not want to or can't control, or, you know, it's uneasy. The crowd, you won't be able to dictate the crowd. You will have to figure out the story week by week and get people invested in the match. You're going to have to do it on the mic. You're going to have to do it. You know, so it is giving her, maybe this is like trial by fire, and, you know, put enough pressure, you know, you make the pipe bust or you get a diamond. So she could be, she could, like, age or become, like, she might just instantly be a lot more seasoned after this feud because of what this kind of tested her as, to where she's just way more confident now for the next person. Like, oh, yeah, try that shit again. Yeah. Like, let's do it. Like, I'm ready to talk it now. It's like she was talking it, and I didn't really believe it, but now maybe the next time she's, you know, she wants to be, like, Rhea. Same as Rhea. Like, now Rhea can say whatever she wants to say. Everybody, you got it. Like,
yeah, I think it's mainly just the baby face portion of Tiffany that she's struggling with. Yeah, she's definitely struggling as a baby face.
It's unnatural.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the beginning of it, they weren't going to make her the face, it didn't feel like. Mm-hmm. They were for sure about to tell a whole different story with Charlotte.
Absolutely. So. Charlotte was absolutely intended to be the babyface and Tiffany the heel, but the crowd loves Tiffany. She legitimately built herself up straight from the ground up, and she's the champion, and they do not want to see her lose. But unfortunately, I think that's what's going
to
happen.
We're going to get back to the WWE title match in just a second, but the IC Fatal 4-Way, who would you want to win from, like, first to fourth? Because you kind of can't go wrong with whoever wins this match.
I could tell you who I would want to win. I definitely want Penta to win. But I think I'm of the mindset. I think Dominic is going to walk away with that belt. I think they're going to go
for Dominic. I'm pulling for Dominic.
Walk away with the booze and the belt. I think that's happening.
Dom and Penta are 1 and 2. I think Judgment Day is actually in for a like low key. We're here still, sort of WrestleMania. After you know they had one last year also, but so say Raquel and Liv win still, you know Dom go get some gold, bring it back too. And what's really fun, what's going to be funny about that match is I thought about it tonight. It's going to be a 5-way, basically. And it's also going to be a 2-on-2 or a 2 versus 1 versus 1. But the 2 is really 3 because Carlito's basically going to be in the match. He's basically going to be an extra in this match. And Dom's got to steal Finn's pin or something. Or I don't care. Have Dom pin Finn. Like, I think that Dom's got to win this too. I would also want Penta to win. If he didn't win, it's okay. I have a bit more confidence in whatever they'll do with Penta because I was a little nervous for Phoenix to come in. I was like, all right, man, let Penta cook though a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go Krampus style, sort of. Let him keep rocking over there. And since Phoenix is on SmackDown, it seems like, okay, we're going to let these two be individuals for a little bit, even if some of the branding mm-hmm. overlaps or some of the presentation is similar. I hope they just don't rush those boys back into a tag team. And we can still see if the solo arc for Penta is there because it's working. Everything is working with freaking Penta since he started, so.
Yeah, because Penta is actually being able to show his personality, which he was not able to really do in AEW. And once he's able to show that, you know, WWE, they're going to market the hell out of all those masks and his entrance and this whole presentation. He's just really cool to see. He's got a great look. He's great in ring. He's just all around great. And he's actually not bad on the mic.
No, it's crazy, man. Like, of course they figured it out. And it's not by doing anything like mind blowing that you were just say how are they letting his character thrive versus how AEW did. And it's like, I don't know. they gave him a better entrance and
yeah, they just didn't appreciate the Lucha Bros.
Not really. Yeah, you got to do more than just ring the bell for a character to breathe. Even if they are insane wrestlers, like you gotta let it breathe a little bit, and it's just worked. It's definitely worked. What before we probably wrap with the main, what else about this weekend, about the card, or anything that I maybe didn't mention that you're extra looking forward to, or is unique about this year? If I'm missing something.
I'm not necessarily missing anything because, like we said, this year is very different. Does not feel the quite WrestleMania-like this year. But, you know, Cody, Cena, they're carrying essentially. So that's the main thing. Like, I'm really, really, like, in tune to watch. Since I'm determining, like, where I'm going to sit down and watch it just because of the two guys that are in it. And because it's Cena's final year, and I do predict that Cena's going to win this match. So that's just it. It's just the unpredictability of a Cody versus Cena match because you can legit see it going either way.
We know The Rock is going to come get some of the spotlight. Mm-hmm. There's no way, absolutely done, where he doesn't factor into what happens this weekend. And I don't know if we get a screw job or who knows what, but there's no way that he is not. He didn't tell John Cena or Cody that, hey, you link up with the final boss, it's done. Whatever you want, just consider it done. John has to win almost now because of that. And that all can't have happened for nothing. I think we see Travis Scott again on Sunday. You know, not that all of that really needs to, but I think we've got to sort of make it about the soul selling and the sellout element for it to hit a sort of check a box that I think a lot of fans are wanting it to, and I'm hoping that it does. For that to all sort of wrap around and make some sense again, because y'all did a lot for y'all to never reference it again. So I know that Rock won't just be at home on Sunday. He's going to be on the camera at some point.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that, yeah, John is winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because, like, Rock just showed up randomly for the build to an Elimination Chamber to try to steal Cody's soul, and then all of a sudden it's a swerve for a John Cena heel turn that we don't see Rock again. So I think we absolutely will see Rock at Mania, no doubt about it, and I think he will play a part in that match, and I think he will definitely cost Cody the match and assist John Cena to win that belt, and I think that's best for business, because I think a heel John Cena world title run, I'm very interested to see how that actually turns out.
All right, I've been throwing this at people. What's your over under on John Cena matches? Because I just keep having that in mind as well, that like I do want him. I do think you have to do some of these stories. I think that him and Randy, you can't not spin that back. I think that him eventually turning back, I think also happens. Anything beyond that now. It's like, okay, well, how many stories can we fit with him working the over-under at 7 matches the rest of the year?
Yeah.
It's like, at that point, only 2-3 real stories are doable. More, and on a small scale, you do some kind of one-off stuff on a SmackDown, but like, he's not fighting somebody different at every pay-per-view for the rest of the year. I don't think that's happening. Maybe it does. I'll be surprised, pleasantly.
I think it maybe if you the one like shows you may not see him is like maybe the Saudi shows. I think that's it. But like the rest of these like major pay-per-views is coming up because he's already advertised for a Backlash. So that's for sure happening. And then it's in St. Louis. So like you said, Randy Orton, I think that's honestly the direction to go, because why would you not have Randy Orton main event in his hometown against John Cena?
They've got to spin Punk back. They've got to spin it back to Punk.
AJ Styles, you get at least.
I was going to say him in the first list, too. Yeah, I'm here for that again. It's crazy how much that was, like, really a standout. Like,
honestly, I say you do that match in France.
And I'd have, if he wins it, I'm fine with Punk taking it off of him. Because I think that you can't. I still want it. My best case scenario this season would have had Punk in the title match in the main event. However we got there, Chamber, the Soul, the Favor, the Rumble, however it would have happened, a number one contender on night one. My best, I would have wanted most for Punk to be in the title match for main event this year. And I think that Triple H does understand that you can't bank on, next year. If his AEW run taught us nothing, if his first year taught us nothing with the bicep and tricep injury, whatever it was, it's that you cannot just assume you have next year. So you better get to some of the stuff you want to do now or accept the fact that it might never happen. So I think that he knows, okay, I got to really make sure that we squeeze what we can get out of this run with Punk while it's really, really happening before who knows what could happen. So, yeah, I think that he's getting the title before the year is over.
I agree. I think so. I think that's honestly your SummerSlam match. I think that is what it is. If it's not Roman and Punk, I think honestly Cena and Punk is going to be your SummerSlam match.
That does it for me. That's too far. Are they in Cleveland this year for SummerSlam?
Actually, they're in New Jersey, I want to say. Yeah, New Jersey.
That's right. They did Cleveland
already. New Jersey this year, Minnesota next year, yes.
That's going to be a big card.
Yeah, and they're doing 2 nights this year.
Yeah, that'll be a very big card for sure. Nah, bro, we're here, man. I know we got we gotta stay charged up to run the gauntlet this week. So shout outs to getting in here, man. And I meant to do this at the very top, so I'm annoyed already, but shout out to you, bro. You out here getting to it, man. You really knocking them over the head with the reviews, the interviews, the movie reviews. Like, I see you, bro. I see you, and keep getting to it, man.
Appreciate that dearly, man. I appreciate it, man. I'm trying. I'm working, man.
Let us know where if somebody's listening to this and hearing you for the first time, man. Let them know where they can find you for sure, man. And some of what you're up to.
Man, currently right now, what I'm doing, I'm doing reviews on like multiples of websites. So you can catch me on TikTok. That's where I mainly do a lot of my out of the theater reactions and weekly series reviews at Fishflix Films. You can also go to my YouTube page where the full length interviews and some reviews are located as well at Fishflix Reviews. Those are going to be the main tune hubs, or the Instagram. Sometimes I lightly post on there, just k.fishflix. And yeah, so if you need any out of the theater reactions, I go to the theater every week, watching multiple films a week. Shows, Power, Last of Us, you name it. I also write reviews as well on Mixdown. So yeah, like he said, running the full gauntlet.
Dude. Yeah, nah, man. And I see you, bro. Hey, salute. And I know you're going to stick with it, and that it's only upward, but nah, it's neat. It's neat being in this, you know, self-sufficient sort of creator lane where it's not, things aren't being done for the reaction or reception of others. It's more being done like as a product of you know, the work to get to this part. And it's, you know, it's a natural thing now. So I see you, man. I don't have too much else myself, but like, follow, and subscribe as always wherever you are listening. And thank you for listening. Season 3, man, we're trudging along, and the playoffs are here. Do your homework. You know, like, follow, subscribe to the show, share it, tell somebody about it, be active on socials. We want your opinions, we want your feedback, and we'll be here rocking, man. Watch WrestleMania this weekend. You have no excuse. What else should you be doing this weekend? Go to church as well.
Happy Easter.
Happy Resurrection, man. Till next time. Quest, thanks for coming through, bro.
Hell yeah. Thank you for having me, man. I'll see you.
Dog.
Yes, sir.